to keep singing.
Keep on singing. Amen.
Let all my worship.
Yes, sir. Preach.
Let all my praise flow to you. Flow to you. All my worship. Do you have worship in you? You should have worship in you. When you come into the house of praise, especially, you should have worship. I'm sorry, I was two mics here. Can you hear me? Praise God. When you have worship in you, let all my worship, all my praise, as pastor says, water flows down, but worship flows up.
That's right.
Let all that is within me praise his name. Let all that is within me bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us have a word of prayer. Father, this morning, we're just thankful, Lord.
Jesus.
We're thankful to be here. We're thankful for how you blessed us. You woke us up again.
Yes, Lord.
To see another day. You didn't have to do it, but you did it. Somebody already prayed and said it wasn't the alarm clock that woke us up. It was you, God, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord. You woke us in our right minds. Lord, we're thankful. You woke us with the use of our limbs. You woke us up after having blessed us with restoration last night. You made us to lie down, Lord, not in green pastures, but in soft beds. With pillows under our heads, with blankets over us, keeping us warm. We're thankful, Lord, for that roof over our head. We're thankful, Lord, for the food was in our belly. We didn't go to bed hungry last night. We're thankful, God. We're thankful, Lord, for Jesus. We're thankful for salvation. But God, we know that as we are blessed, we're blessed with so many things. We're blessed with your comfort. We're blessed with your presence. Lord, somebody went to bed hungry last night. Somebody didn't have a roof over their head last night. God, somebody didn't have peace last night. And God, we stand in the gap for them today. We're thankful for all you've done for us, but God, we're calling on you today to have mercy on those that don't have, those that didn't have, those that won't have, those that are yet walking the streets confused, afraid, Lord, without hope. Lord, look on homeless, Lord, today. Lord, look on those that are hopeless, Lord, those that are helpless. Lord, those that don't have answers, they don't see solutions to the problems, Lord, but you are the solution. You are the Christ for every crisis this afternoon, and we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, bless your word to the hearts of your people. We're thankful for those in the sanctuary, those on social media. Lord, we know you have a word for them today. And we ask, Lord, that as you have already prepared their hearts, Lord, you've shown us that we are to worship you in spirit and in truth, and we thank you.
Thank you.
Take your word, Lord, and implant it, embed it into these precious hearts this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. You may be seated. This afternoon, the Lord gave me something, and the title is a little misleading because it's not really what I had in mind when I started this. I just call him Jesus. You know, we have a lot of names for him. We call him whatever, you know, our needs that he has met. If he has met your need for comfort, he becomes your comforter. If he has met your need for food, he becomes your provider. If he's healed your body, he's your healer. If he's brought peace in your life where there was nothing but chaos, he becomes your peace. If you need righteousness, he becomes your righteousness. So whatever he needs you to be, he becomes that. We were in our lesson this morning in the power hour. We were talking about Jesus when he said, I am. He said before Abraham was, I am, which means that I am whatever you need me to be at the time. So whatever the name is that you have for Jesus, call him that. But let me tell you, I just call him Jesus. And this lesson is really not about that. It's about a lot of other things. It is about that, but it's about a lot of other things as well. We're going to be looking at a few verses of scripture in the fourth chapter of John and a couple of verses in the fourth chapter of Luke. This is a very familiar set of passages because we've gone back and forth on these same scriptures about the woman at the well. But I want to bring to your attention that this is not just about a woman at a well. This is about an encounter at a well.
All right.
But this is also about conversion, and it's about evangelism. And we're going to see how that plays out in this. And I want to just get you updated up to the point where we're going to start reading at verse 25. So I'm not going to read verses 1 through 24 for you. I'm going to give you the highlights of what has transpired. Jesus and his disciples, you know, they're always on the move. They're going and carrying the gospel. And so they're on the move, and they're in the southern part of Israel down in Judea, and they're headed toward the northern part into Galilee. But Jesus makes a statement. He says, we must stop in Samaria. And that was an unusual statement because the Jews never go to Samaria because they hated each other. But Jesus says, I need to go into Samaria. Now, catch this. Sometime God will send you into places you're not comfortable with. So we have to be prepared for that. So he ends up in Samaria and he finds Jacob's well, and it's in the middle of the day and it's probably hot, and he stops there to rest. And Jesus lets us know he was God fully, but he was also a man fully. So he got hungry, he got tired, he got, you know, frustrated just like we do. And so in the middle of the day, he was hot, thirsty, and tired, and he takes a seat at Jacob's well. Jacob's well was on a mountain, and this is where the Samaritans would come and worship. And so here we have at that well, a woman strolls up there in the middle of the day. And this is very unusual because the women, again, second-class citizens, they didn't have faucets like we have. We go in the kitchen, we get bottled water. They had to travel to the nearest well to get their water, and she had her container to go and get her water. And so most of the women would get up early in the morning to go get water for the day, and they would travel as a group of women all together. This woman is here alone in the middle of the day. This is a very unusual scenario here. So Jesus sees this woman and he's thirsty. He doesn't have anything to carry water in. He asks the woman for a drink. And this is where the encounter starts. Okay, so he says to the woman, who is a Samaritan woman, give me a drink. And the woman's response to him is very interesting. She looks at him because they don't talk. These are the Samaritans. They don't talk to Jews. She says to him, why is it that you being, first of all, a man, for second of all, a Jewish man, asks of me, who is a woman and a Samaritan woman, for a drink? We don't talk. Your people and my people, we don't communicate. We don't like one another. And then Jesus goes on with this conversation. And remember something, with God, nothing is for nothing. Everything is for a purpose. This was a divine encounter, a divine appointment with this woman at this well. And so this encounter with this woman, this idea of water was why he went to the well. This woman went every day to get what she needed for the day, which was what? Natural water. And so here they are, they're having this conversation about give me a drink. She's wondering who are you asking me for this drink? Okay, so this conversation goes on and he says to her, if you had only knew who I was, you would have asked me for water, and I wouldn't have given you natural water, but I would have given you living water. And so she says to him, okay, give me this water that I can drink it and I don't get thirsty anymore. And he says, okay, I got a deal for you. I'll give you that water, but first go get your husband and bring him with you. And so now the whole conversation turns from water to her personal life. Because Jesus didn't go up on that mount and to that well and talk to a woman that he didn't know. He knew her. God knows us and he knows everything about us. And so he says to the woman, go get your husband and bring him back with you. And here goes the conversation is turned upside down. Oh, I don't got no husband. And he says, you're right. You don't have a husband and you're living with a man that's not your husband. And she now where her perception was, he was a man who was a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan. Now she's thinking, uh-oh, he's not just an ordinary man. Right. He is a prophet. She says, I perceive that you are a prophet. And so now the conversation has gone from him being a man to now you're a prophet. And so and keep in mind, Jesus is not there to judge her. Jesus is saying, he's just letting her know, I know you. I know you. And remember something. This is the book of John. I tell people, when you read the book of John, remember there's an underlying theme of love here. I don't care what the situation. Jesus is love. And any encounter he has, love is an undercurrent. He loved this woman at the well. And this is a woman who was at the well in the middle of the day, because in the town, she was disrespected. She was ostracized and criticized. She didn't probably have any friends. So she goes to this well, and guess who she encounters? She encounters a friend. His name is Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, that song says. So she encounters this man, and he said, now she's gone from talking about water to talking about her personal business. Now he's a prophet, and now she's intimidated. She's a little intimidated. Now the conversation is going to turn again. First, she's talking about the water. Now, my personal life. So now we don't want to talk about my personal life. Now she wants to talk about something else. And she turns the conversation now to religion. She says, you guys talk about where you go worship. You guys say you worship over in Israel, in Jerusalem. We say we're supposed to worship here on this hill. Jesus has asked you about no religion. And so we do the same thing today. We talk about, you know, the Baptist, you know, you got to be baptized, you know, the holiness, you got to speak in tongues, you know, and Seventh-day Adventist, you know, you got to worship on this day or you not, you know, we got all our different ideas about it. But Jesus was not talking about, so when she starts talking about worship, and she's not really talking about worship, she's talking about religion. Jesus takes her idea of what worship is and turns it around and says, okay, you want to talk about worship? Let me tell you about worship. The Father desires that people worship in spirit and in truth. He said there's going to come a time, it's not going to matter where you worship. It's not going to be about a building. It's not going to be about a denomination. It's going to be about your heart. Is your heart right? Worship is in spirit and it's in truth. And this is what the Father desires. He desires you to worship in spirit and in truth. And here we get to the lesson verses I want to get to is 25 and 26. Now, the woman's response to all this is, she says in verse 25, the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming.
Yes.
The one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Now I want to slow down because she has changed and now she's looking at listening to all the things he has just talked about worshiping. This is a little too much for her. So she says, you know what? I don't understand all of what you just got through saying to me. But one thing I do know is the Messiah is coming. This woman had anticipation that things were going to change. She was anticipating that the Messiah was coming. And the way she's referring it, the way she's talking about it here, it's like he could come any day now. She says, I know the Messiah is coming. And we need to know that the Messiah who has come is coming again. Don't you know he's coming again? So that word Messiah, because in that verse, she says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. Okay, let me tell you something. Messiah and Christ are the same word. So she has used Messiah and Christ in the same sentence. Messiah, the word Messiah comes from a Hebrew word, Mashiach, and the Christ comes from the Greek word, Christos. They both mean the same thing, which is the anointed one. So she said the anointed one is coming. So I want to focus a little bit on that word, Messiah, anointed one. And I want to take it out of the Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, because this is where Luke is saying that Jesus is responding. And he's saying, he's reading in the synagogue, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the Amplified says, the Messiah. So Amplified says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he has anointed me. Now, the word anointed is a word that that signifies that in biblical times that people would oil would be poured on their head, and it would signify that a person was ordained, God ordained for a particular purpose or a position. And there were three areas of life where people were ordained: prophets were ordained. Remember in the book of 1 Kings where Elijah, the prophet who went up in a chariot of fire, he ordained Elisha to take over for him as the prophet of Israel. We remember that Aaron, the first high priest, was anointed to be the high priest. And remember that Samuel anointed King Saul, the first king of Israel, in 1 Kings chapter 10. And he anointed David to take his place in chapter in the same book, 1 Samuel, in chapter 16 to become king. So anointing was a God-giving appointment for those particular positions. So when you look at Jesus, who we're talking about here, who was anointed, he says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Well, Jesus was anointed. When was he anointed? He was anointed when he was baptized in Jordan. When you saw the Trinity, you saw the Son being baptized by John. And then the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him like a dove. And this is where the Father speaks out and he says, what? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. He goes into five areas in the book of Luke that he's anointed for. The first one is to preach the good news. And the reason this is important is because the woman at the well received every aspect of his anointing. Look at this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. What's the good news? Messiah is coming.
Right.
She went from seeing this man as a man, a Jewish man, to a prophet. Now he's a Messiah. The Messiah that she anticipated was coming was here. That's good news. Don't you think that's good news? And then he's anointed. He says he's anointed to proclaim, and he's going to proclaim four things. He's going to proclaim forgiveness to the captives. We were talking about this morning, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. This woman came up to Jesus, saw Jesus, and after that conversation, she was no longer condemned. The whole town, her whole life was nothing but condemnation. But when she came upon the Messiah, her condemnation was gone.
Yes, Lord.
So he came to proclaim forgiveness. She was forgiven and she knew it. She knew this man loved and forgave her of her history, her background. The recovering of sight to the blind. This woman's eyes were opened when she realized when he said, I am the Messiah. The same thing that happened when those men, when they got ready to arrest Jesus, when he got ready to go to his trials, they said, Jesus asked him, who do you seek? They said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am.
Yeah. Watch out.
And they fell down. So when he said to her, I am the Messiah, her eyes were open. She knew who this was. How do I know that? I'm going to show you in a minute. Just hang in there. So the recovering of sight to the blind, proclaim release of the oppressed. She was oppressed. She was oppressed by her lifestyle. She was oppressed by the people in the city. She was oppressed by her own family. Five husbands. And now another man that she's living with that wasn't her husband. She was probably just his servant. She was probably in that house just because she didn't have anywhere else to live. But now she's released from that sense of that burden that she's no longer worthy. She's no longer worth anything. Women were second class citizens. But this man made her feel important, made her feel like she was somebody. Proclaim the day of salvation and God's favor is here. So all these things, he said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to do these things. She recognized that her day of salvation was there.
Yes.
The day that God saves you, the day that you recognize that God has changed you, that's your day of salvation. Praise God. So when we look at that, those two verses, let's look at verse 28 and 29. In that fourth chapter of John, it says, the woman... So the encounter has happened. Now the disciples who had gone to town to get food are coming back. And now she has recognized this guy is the Messiah. She's been set free. And here's what happens now. It says the woman left her water jar behind beside the well and ran to the village telling everyone. And look at what she said. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? There's so much in this. I want to dig a little bit into it. First thing, it says that she left her water jar. She brought the water jar every day because she needed water. She needed a natural water, just like we do. Why? Because we're made of 70% water. Our bodies are 70% water. We need water every day. And so this day, she brought her water pot. But look what happened. When she found out the Messiah was there and he talked about a living water, what'd she do? She left her water jar because now she found out there's a better water. There's something better than what's natural. There's something better, and I've found it. And she left the jar behind because she no longer, right now, I don't need the natural water. I got the living water.
That's right.
So when she left her water pot, she wasn't just leaving her water pot. She was leaving her past behind.
Yeah.
She was leaving all the hurt behind, all the criticism behind, all the ostracism behind, yeah, all the bad memories of those men behind in that water pot. If anybody see that movie Castaway? Remember when he didn't have nobody to talk to, and there was a ball, a volleyball, and on the volleyball it said Wilson. He drew a face on the volleyball, and that volleyball, that face became his buddy, and he called that volleyball Wilson. And in the end of the movie, he finally makes a raft, and he's trying to get back out to sea where somebody can discover him, and the raft kind of falls apart, and the volleyball gets away from him, and the volleyball starts moving farther and farther away, and he says, Wilson! because Wilson was not just his friend, but Wilson also represented that whole bad 4 years he was on that island with nobody to talk to. No friends, no companionship, no conversation. And that got away. But that was a picture of his old life leaving. That 4 years is now leaving because he would get rescued. This woman, her water pot was her Wilson. And she was leaving that to go because she had found real life through Jesus Christ, the living water. So she says what? Come and see a man. Now, this is a woman that knew about men. She knew about men. She had five husbands.
Right.
And she was living with a man. But she went to town and says, I need you to see this man. This is no ordinary man. He's not ordinary. He's different.
Yeah, what's his name?
He cares about people. He not only told me about my history. And look, when she says he told me everything I ever did, it wasn't just that he knew about her five husbands. He had to have known the relationships that she had. He would have known all the hurts, all the negative things that those husbands may have said to her, the ones that may have beat her. He would have known that. He would have known about all the tears that she had cried in between husbands. He would have known if one of those five husbands, she may have even loved him. We don't know. But whatever the hurt, whatever the things that were, that go, the things that make us broken people, he knew that about her. When she says he told me everything I ever did, it wasn't that he just about five husbands. It's about five experiences in her life that all brought her to this day. And the water pot, everything was in that water pot. She could leave it behind. She could be free now. Whom the son sets free is what? Free indeed. That means free completely. Come and see this unusual man who told me everything I did. And so she, listen to this. Could he possibly be the Messiah? He said he was the Messiah. But why did she say it like this? Remember, she's talking to people that don't respect her. She probably is thinking they would not believe me if I told them. So she presents it in such a way that they have to say in their mind, She's not telling them what to think. She's giving them something to think about.
All right.
Could he be? And look at the result of her encounter. Well, we just went through the result of her encounter. Oh, so remember, we said it in power this morning. Rabbis It was sad. Women couldn't even testify in court as witnesses. And I read where it says, the rabbi said, it is better that the words of the law be burned than to be delivered by a woman. That's just mean. That's just mean. So in the interim, okay, so she's gone to town. She's telling them, come and see a man. You know, could he be the Messiah? Look at verse 35. Chapter 4, verse 35 says, now Jesus is talking to the disciples now. Because remember, Jesus loves the woman at the well. He loves the Samaritans in the town. He loves his disciples. And he's always in teaching mode. Verse 35, do you not say it is still 4 months until the harvest comes? Look, I say to you, raise your eyes and look at the fields and see, they're white for harvest. What is he talking about, the fields? He's talking about the world. He said, look away, forget about your own city sometimes. Forget about your own people, your own color sometimes, and look beyond that. Because he was getting ready to take them into a new territory. Amen. He's getting them ready mentally. The harvest is white. Because Jesus, when he left, he told them, go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations. He didn't say teach Jews. He said teach all nations. He said make disciples of all men. So here we go, verse 39. They're going on a field trip. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in the village. So he stayed for 2 days. They left Judea thinking they were headed for Galilee. They had no idea they were going to have to stay and stop in Samaria. Yeah.
The despised place.
That place they never would have dreamed. This is what God does to us. He takes us into interesting places. Mm-hmm. I say interesting because there are places that you probably would say, I never go there. Mm-hmm. I never talk to these people. These people are whatever. You know what your mind thinks about these people. You know, because think about it. What if God sent us as a church to the White House to talk to some of these people in the White House? I mean, I'm saying, what do you think of these people? Because these people, first of all, they're God's people. And I say that to say this. God made them. God loves them. Jesus died for them. Jesus died for that president you don't like, that governor you don't like, that mayor you don't like. Jesus died for that person. Which means what? He loves that person. He doesn't love the actions. He loves the person. When Jesus, I wish you guys come to Power Hour. We talked about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and when they asked Jesus, what should we do with this woman? First of all, the man wasn't there. Where's the man? Secondly, he writes in the sand. Jesus loved the Pharisees.
Yes, he did.
He loved the Pharisees because somebody in that big crowd was a man that probably committed the act with her. Jesus didn't out the man. Because Jesus loved the man. Jesus had a solution that would benefit everybody. Okay. He went to their consciences. Let's look. What does the law say? The law says you should stone them to death. Mm-hmm. Jesus probably wanted to cry. Mm-hmm. Makes me want to cry thinking about that. Because they all are guilty. But that's why Jesus was there to begin with, because they're all guilty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of them.
Yeah.
The woman was, surely she was guilty. The man who wasn't presented, he was guilty. The crowd was guilty. How I know? Because he said, okay, whoever's without sin, you start it off. Mm-hmm. And they start dropping their rocks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because he had appealed to their consciences. So he says, He told everything I have ever, let's see, where am I at here? Verse 40, 39, they start over. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Remember the whole purpose of the book of John, the 20th chapter, verse 30. It says many things, many signs Jesus did that were not written in this book. There's not enough books to put it all in. But he said, these things are written for you so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. In that believing, you would have life, eternal life through his name. He stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe. Remember, she said, I believe. In the beginning, remember, she says, I believe. Where'd he go? Oh. She said, I know that this Messiah is going to come and he's going to teach us all things. He said, I know. When she got done, before the day was over, a whole lot of other people believed as well.
Yes, yes.
See, we take people and we minimize the abilities. We minimize how God can use people that we don't think highly of. We put them down, they don't look like us. They don't have money like we do. They don't wear clothes like we do. They're not the color of our that we are. So they don't deserve. What? Where we come up with that? That's learned behavior. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not something okay, I don't know about you. When we were in elementary school as kids, we played with all the kids. We had different color kids. Black, white, Mexicans, Cubans. I don't know, that's Hispanics, but anyway. And kids just play together. Kids are not prejudiced.
Amen. That's right.
Unless their parents make them that way. They said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him for ourselves. And this is what we have to do. We have to be like the Bereans. We have to search the scriptures. We have to look in the word of God to make sure that all the stuff you heard or that you're hearing is correct, including the doctrine, the indoctrination. What is the news saying? The news is saying, let's legalize such and such. You need to take that such and such and say and compare it to the word of God. Is that thing they're trying to legalize something that the word of God says is an okay thing to legalize or not? And your mindset should be, I'm going to follow what God says.
Right.
Let God be true and every man a lie.
Amen. That's right.
Now we believe. And they believe because this woman had a conversion. She went from a woman whose life was a wreck.
Yeah.
It was jacked up, my kids used to say, it's jacked up. To a woman who was set free.
Thank you, God.
And she wanted to make sure everybody knew it. Mm-hmm. All those people that had hurt her in the past, she didn't care.
No.
She wanted them to know too.
Right.
There's somebody that can change things. Do you know? She said, I know. Mm-hmm. So that's the question for us. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
When she said she knew, she was saying, I have faith. Mm-hmm. You don't, we don't think about this, but the Samaritans had the Torah as well.
Mm-hmm.
They had a word of the word of God. And they were looking for the Messiah, just like the Jews were.
Mm-hmm.
This woman had faith. She said, I know that the Messiah is coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's anticipation.
That's right.
What does the scripture say about it? It says those who love his appearance. We're waiting for him to come back, just like she was waiting for him to come the first time. She didn't know he was there until she found out. And when she found out, everything changed.
Thank you, Lord.
Her mindset changed. Her priorities changed. Her perception of herself changed. She started to, she went to the well thinking, I'm not worth a thing. But you know what? She left her water pot.
Right. Yeah.
She left that water pot because now I'm valuable. God sees me differently than you people see me. I'm gonna live my life based on what he says, not based on what you say. And that's how we have to define ourselves, not by people. Not by the world's standards. We have to define ourselves by what God says about us. Do you know? Her faith. She had expectation.
Right.
She had anticipation and she had expectation. Her expectation was when the Messiah comes, things would change. Things not just in the nation, but things in her personal life.
Right.
And we have to remember, God says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yeah.
But he also talks about us as individuals. He says, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth shall die. He doesn't want us to die. He wants us to live. Remember Joshua, he says, I set before you death and life, blessing and cursing. If you were taking a test, and I know everybody has been to school, you had to take tests. And if you had a test packet on your desk and you get ready to take the test, and then they put the answer key right next to the test, wouldn't that be nice if all the tests were like that?
That's right, yeah.
Where they gave you the answers? Well, he gives them the answer. He says, I set before you death and life, a blessing and cursing, choose life. He gives you the answer.
Right.
Why would you fail the test? She had anticipation. She had expectation of explanation. Because when you have expectation that he's coming, not only do you expect him to change things, but you want some extra. I want some answers. I want to know why. Why is this world like this? Why are these people like this toward me? And why am I like this toward them? I need some answers.
Right.
Expectation of an explanation is something that we all have a need for. And finally, she had hope. She went to that well every day because she had hope. She knew that if I could just get some natural water, that's going to help for another day. But then she finally got what she really needed. And that's what Jesus is. You might call him the Messiah. You might call him Jehovah. You know, you got people want to give him a name. His name is not Jesus. It's Yahweh. You know, we feel real good because we find out his real name is Yeshua. It's not Jesus. You know, and again, back to where I started. You know, we can say the Lord is my provider.
Yes.
He has provided for me where I didn't know where I was going to get food the other day. And he brought food to me. Your body, the doctors had given up on me. The medicine stopped working. There's no more procedures. And then God comes along and heals
right.
you. Now he's what? He's my healer.
Yeah.
Yes.
So whatever your experience with God is, he becomes that for you. And there's a name for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like to call him Jesus.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, we call him the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
The first and last, the beginning and the end. We call him the bright and morning star. We call him a lot of things. We call him the great shepherd. I love that one. Because I love the idea of a shepherd's sheep and me being a sheep and him making me lie down and rest and then restoring my soul.
Yes.
That I like. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's our protector. He's our comforter. There's a song that says he's our way maker,
yes.
our miracle worker, our promise keeper, our light in the darkness.
Yes.
My God,
yes.
that's who he is. The book of Isaiah calls him, he says, he is our wonderful
yes.
counselor,
yes.
our everlasting father, our prince of peace.
Yes.
You know, so all those are names for Jesus. And you probably have another name you might have had experience with God about. Whatever you want to call him, you can call him whatever you want. I just like to call him Jesus. Because in Jesus, all that stuff is rolled into one. He's everything to me. I like what Brother Tyrone says. I just love God.
That's right.
I just love Jesus.
Yeah.
And when I get to heaven and I see my Savior's face, Oh my God, that song says, how's the song go? It says, not that song. The song that says, I can only imagine. There's so many songs about the Lord, you know, that come to our mind. But that song says, I can only imagine what my eyes will see when my face is, how's it go? When your face is before me, I can only imagine all what I will do. Somebody help me out here because I forgot the words. I should have. See, if I was smart, I wrote the song on it. And I would tell. But so whatever you want to call him, I call him Jesus. Amen. I'm done. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this afternoon, we're so thankful, Lord, because you're so good. We're thankful, Lord, that your mercy endures to all generations. We're thankful, Lord, that anything we need, your hand hath provided. We thank you that all you are, Lord, is more than enough for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you how you blessed us with your word. Your word is life. Your word is light. Your word shows us how to love you, how to worship you. You're worthy of praise, and it tells us that you're good, and it tells us that you love us. So, Father, this afternoon, bless those that were in the hearing of this word. We thank you, Lord, for today. Help us, Lord, to take that word along with us when we leave this place, but not your presence, and go before us, Lord, and prepare the way for us. Lord, look at that box on the wall, Lord, that every nickel and dime, every quarter, every dollar goes in there and is used for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a heart to give, for giving us and blessing us with more than enough. Bless your people everywhere. We thank you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. Amen. I'm all done. Y'all yours.
Praise God.
Wow. Praise God. What a word. What a word, praise God, and got the benediction on top of it. Praise the Lord. What's his name?
Jesus.
J-E-S-U-S. Praise the Lord. Amen. I never will forget, Pastor Jones, one day I was falling out of a ceiling doing some electrical work, had took some medication. I was drowsy. Somebody said, let's borrow the ladder. And I hadn't been saved but a couple of years. And, man, I got the report from the heathens that I was working with. They say, man, we heard you say Jesus. And when I came to my senses, my arms was holding over the joists and my feet were just dangling like this. I said, Jesus, unconsciously, but it was down in my heart. What you call him, Jesus, no other name under heaven by which men must be saved but by the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God. Ooh, hallelujah. Is anybody that's been touched by Jesus today in your life, at some point in your life changed. You're no longer the same. Any man be in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. If there's anybody who need to know this Jesus, he told somebody, say, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. But this water will be within you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If anybody wants living water today, you might be on Facebook right now. You may have had a hard night. You might have a hangover. Or you just might be in the valley of decision. You might be in a place where you're just tired. You're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. But I want to let you know, the preacher preached to us today from the word of God.
Hallelujah.
And let us know that Jesus will give you a new perspective on life. And all it takes is a made up mind. There ain't no long drawn out process. You don't have to turn no back over flips and blow bubbles. All you have to do is surrender your heart to Jesus. Say, come into my life, dear God. Forgive me of my sins. I want to walk with you, God. I want to talk with you. I want to know you in a personal way. However the words flow, because no man can, you can't come to the Lord unless he draw you. And so if he's drawing you, let him draw you. Let picture him as that holy vacuum cleaner that's sucking you in to a better life, and you'll never be the same again. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand to be dismissed? Praise the Lord. We're praying for those that are afflicted on today.
Hallelujah.
Let's keep Brother Ron up in prayer. He's still afflicted at home, and his mom broke her knee, and we want to pray for them. Sister Carolina was sick this morning, and you saw she was to do the scripture on this morning. Let's pray for her. Mark and Mama Sonia, just the saints of God, those that are not here in the house of the Lord, those that God has placed on our heart, let's pray. Amen. And while we pray, is there anyone with a special prayer request? Just slip up your hand. God already knows. If you have a need, slip up that blessed hand. We're praying for Camille. She had an interview the other day. Get this, for assistant dean of nobody but Jesus. He's able.
Hallelujah.
To do all, Paul said, I'm confident that what I have committed to him, he'll perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. Let the words of let our praise flow to you today. Oh God, be glorified today, in the name of Jesus. God, the word of God came to Zerubbabel, saying, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God, stretch out your hand today. Touch these, your people, Lord. You see the hands that are raised, God. Your children, your sons, your daughters are standing in need today and need a touch from you, Lord. Can't nobody touch us like you. Can't nobody heal us like you. Can't nobody love us like you. Can't nobody forgive us like you. Can't nobody provide for us like you. Bless your people today. Hey, yeah, your God, in the name of Jesus. God, we have plans, we have thoughts, God, but you have the master plan, God. We just want to obey you, Lord. We just want to surrender to you, Lord, God. We want you to have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Give someone deliverance on today. Let this be the first day of the rest of their lives. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Heal the sick today. Touch the names that's been called today. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. We surrender all to you. Have your way, Lord. Shower down on us, God, in the name of Jesus. A new anointing, Lord. New running in our feet, new clapping in our hands, Lord. New determination, new anointing, a fresh anointing. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Give us direction, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Show us the way. Take us by our hand, God. We'll be careful and cautious to give you the glory, to give you the honor, to give you the praise. Now and here to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or ask or even imagine of him. Oh, God, by the power that works within us, have your way today. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Bless us as we leave this place, God, but not your presence, Lord. Give us safe travel home. Let us find our homes the way in a good place, Lord. Let peace be the order of the day, Lord. Our unsaved loved ones that we're confronted with each and every day, Lord, let them see Jesus in our actions, in our words, in our deeds, God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen.